May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be forever acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please take a seat. I wonder if I can start with a question. What will make you happy? What will make you happy? On Easter morning, it's possible chocolate might form part of the answer. But I'm looking slightly deeper than that. What will make you happy? In Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, there is a special mirror, the Mirror of Erised. I don't know if there's any Harry Potter fans here this morning. Yes? Can anybody tell me what the Mirror of Erised does? What's special about it? Well, then, Israfil. It shows you what you really want. Well done. Very good. And the word erised, of course, is desire spelt backwards. So the Mirror of Erised shows you your heart's deepest desire. And that means it shows different things for different people. Harry Potter is an orphan. He has no parents and no family. And he longs to be part of a loving family. So when he looks into the Mirror of Erised, he sees his family all there waving at him. And he feels part of it. But his friend Ron, who is part of a very large and loving and rumbustuous sort of family, Ron always feels a bit overlooked by his elder brothers. So when he looks in the Mirror of Erised, what he sees is himself being very important. He's head boy. He's captain of the team. He's won the Quidditch Cup. Because that's what he really desires. And in this morning's Easter reading, we see Jesus asking Mary two questions that are exploring what are her deepest desires. What is it she's really longing for? First of all, he says, why are you weeping? In other words, what have you lost? What are you missing in your life? What are you so sad about through all those tears? And of course, it's fairly obvious to Mary, she's lost Jesus. She's lost not just somebody who was a personal friend and someone she loved, but somebody bigger than that. She thought Jesus would be the one who would rescue her people, that God was somehow working through Mary. So she feels that sense of bigger loss of her people's hopes. Of course, as we look around the world today, there are a lot of people weeping. A lot of tears. We look at the destroyed communities in Gaza. We look at the wars grinding on in Ukraine and Sudan. All around the world, there are people weeping. And perhaps closer to home, too, there are tears. Each of us will have things that have disappointed us, things that we've lost, something that makes us sad. For many of us, that will be there in our lives this Easter morning. But Jesus follows that first question, why are you weeping, with the second question, what are you looking for? In other words, what will make you happy? What will put things right? What will take away this sense of sadness? What will make you satisfied and feel complete and fulfilled? We don't always know what it will be that will put things right and satisfy us. I love the story of the American billionaire, J.D. Rockefeller, who made a fortune out of oil around about the year 1900. And he was the richest man in the world. And somebody once asked him, J.D., how much money would you have before you were satisfied? And without missing a beat, he said, just a little bit more. Which maybe suggests that his heart's desire was something that was never going to be satisfied. That he was maybe looking for the wrong sort of thing, because there was never going to be enough. Now, the snag with the mirror of Erised is that what it shows isn't necessarily true. So when Harry sees his family in the mirror, that doesn't mean he's going to see his family again, because his parents are dead and nothing's going to bring them back. And when Ron sees himself being terribly important, just because he sees it in the mirror of desire, doesn't mean that that's true and that it's going to happen. And in the same way, when Mary weeps, and when she's asked about her heart's desire, that doesn't necessarily mean she's going to see Jesus again. Mary thinks she's looking for a dead body, but she's not going to find it because Jesus is risen. Mary might think at a deeper level that she wants Jesus back. But one of the things this story says is that the risen Jesus isn't the same as he was before. For one thing, she doesn't recognize him at first. She thinks he's the gardener. So there's something different about him. Something has changed. And yet it's still Jesus. Until Jesus calls Mary by name and says, "Mary." And at that point, it's as if the mirror is shattered. And she's no longer trapped in her illusions and fantasies of trying to get back something which has gone forever. And instead, she's confronted with the reality of the risen Lord, who is promising to be with her forever. And that means the future is going to be different, because she's not going to be alone. Jesus is always going to be with her. And not even death can separate him from her. Mary sees not what she thought she wanted. She's not seeing a projection of her own longing. She's seeing the living Christ. Jesus is the same but different, transformed. Not just with her in sorrow, but ahead of her in joy. So the resurrection doesn't give us back what we've lost. And it doesn't necessarily give us our heart's desire. But it does give us the risen Christ to be with us forever. Jesus doesn't say he's going to fix our problems, but he does say we can never be separated from his love. And so if Christ is risen, we too have a different future. We too must change as we discover who we are, not by ourselves, but in relation with him. As we trust him and follow him, our lives are different and they change. And Jesus says to Mary, "Don't hold on to me. I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." So let go of the past with its fantasies and look forward to the future, full of the love of God. Sometimes it does feel, doesn't it, as though we're in a hall of mirrors and everything is distorted and we're not quite sure what's really real. And even our desires can deceive us. But at Easter, it's as if the mirrors are smashed. And at last we can see truly, because we see not by ourselves, but we see with the Lord who shows us who we really are. And who promises that he will always be with us, forever and ever. Amen.